God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't panic. I made a deal with Morgan that I wouldn't go on as long as she did. So you're good. We worked that out. I thought she had an important message for us as we gain understanding. And as we come through this reading of the Passion narrative, and this one in particular, where all of us cry out that he be crucified, seems completely appropriate. Because brothers and sisters, he was crucified for us, and quite frankly, because of us. And it's important, I believe, for us to remember that. As we hear in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he says, do nothing from selfish. Let me back that up. Let the same name be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. His death on the cross was for our sin, amen? This is an understanding that we have, and it's one we proclaim, but it's also one we struggle with. Amen? In this day and age, who would do such a thing? Someone offer their life for another? It's one thing to offer your life for a good person, but to offer your life for a sinner? Unheard of. But isn't that Jesus? He does the things that are unheard of. And you hear that, obedience to death, even death on a cross, for our sin, for us, and because of us, he gave his life. God incarnate came into this world to capture us so that we could be reconciled to God, the torn curtain through his very body and blood, so that we could gain freedom from our sin and our pain and our shame and our sorrow. It's what is offered to us through Jesus Christ. And we back to that verse 5 in chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I don't know that I want that same mind most of the time. If I'm going to be really honest, I am more likely to stand beside you and tell you how God has forgiven you, and he knows your sin, and he knows the depth of your sin, and he's come to collect you anyway with his very body and blood. I can tell you that all day long, and you may believe me and you may not, but the hardest person for me to convince of that truth is me. It took me years to grasp the fullness of God's grace. It is one of the primary conversations people in my position have with others' people. Right, Father? They come to you, they are hurt, they are damaged, they're broken, they're ashamed, and you speak with them, and you tell them over and over. And anyone in here believe that it is a possibility for anyone else in this room to be saved? Now, how many of us think about that for ourselves and say, maybe, at some point? I'm very confident now, but there was a time when I wasn't so confident. And there's been times in my life, and there's been things in my life that I just knew through the history of my own faith and understanding that I had gone too far to come nearer to Christ. Too far. I'd gone too far from him. I could never come fully back. I couldn't do it. And you know why that changed? Because I figured out I couldn't do it. I wanted to be near to him. And then I discovered in the process the only way to be near to Christ is to embrace the cross. And we live in a society now, and we live in a time in Christianity, in our society, where there are churches where you don't even see a cross. I've been in them. Because they're so offensive to other people who can't grasp the concept that someone would give their life for them, even in their broken sinfulness. They would offer their life to reconcile them to God. They're saying, well, let's not talk about that. That sacrifice concept is too hard for people to hear. And brothers and sisters, we are robbing people of the truth when we do that. Now, I hope this hasn't happened to any of you, but this crucifix comes off the wall in my office. AV's freaking out right now. It's going to be okay. They're testing their new toy. Or they're not. They're not. Okay. They can chase me if they want to. Or if I warn them. This comes off the wall in my office. And in many conversations over the years, I sit with people as they struggle with the truth that they have been forgiven. That Christ has forgiven them, that he has paid the price they can't pay, and they just can't put it together. And I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten up and walked across the room in this office and in my office in Bradenton, and I just simply take this and I lay it on the table in front of them. And I say, has Christ forgiven you? And they say, I hope so. And I point to this and I say, what more can he do to prove to you the depth of his love? What more do you want from him? He had nothing left to give. He gave it all because of you and for you. That is a hard truth in our society today. So hard that some within our faith are saying, don't say that. This is live online. Somebody may find it and ridicule me for it later. But brothers and sisters, if this wasn't true for me, I wouldn't be here. It's truth. Hard to hear, hard to understand, hard to accept. But truth, nonetheless, we should be confident in it. And we want to draw nearer to him. And we want to live a life like Christ. It is literally our way to grow nearer to him. How do we do that? How do we come closer to Christ? How do we understand that which he has done for us? And Paul gives us a hint to that. If you back up before where our reading begins in chapter 2 to verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, humbled himself to gather us to himself. This is what we are called to. This is what's been offered to us. This is what is given. The question we have, are we ready to receive it? Can we let this difficult truth sink so deep into our souls that we begin to be transformed by his love? Can we allow that transforming love that we've received come up within us and come out towards others by simply realigning our understandings and realigning our focus and realigning our priorities to be Christ-like in every situation so that we too may come to understand the heart of Jesus just a little bit more. This is our chance to walk through the torn curtain. He won't drag you through it. You have to meet him in this covenant relationship. He has done all of it. All we need to do is step to it. Lay all of our pain and sorrow and shame and sin at the foot of the cross, where the sacrifice has been made so that we can walk with God as God intended for us to do when He created each of us. Our purpose is to walk with Him. Christ did this out of obedience, humble obedience. Why do we struggle? Well, humble and obedient are not the first two things I pray that I'm going to be on a daily basis. But maybe they should be. Humble and obedient. I get obedience would be new for me in many ways. But when it comes to Christ, He is my Lord. Verses 9 through 11 in chapter 2. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we make this journey, are we recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives? Are we claiming Him as Lord of our lives? Or are we saying, that sounds nice? Are we coming close enough to be reminded that there's this opportunity for us, and maybe someday when I'm no longer distracted by the things that are in my own interest, my selfish ambition, my conceit, maybe the humility will come and maybe the obedience will follow, and I will look to my Lord and Savior and say, my Lord, my God. And I'll lay down all of my things at the foot of His cross, and I will know the truth of my own salvation. I know it's possible. Brothers and sisters, if it wasn't truth, I would not be standing here. As we journey with Christ during this Holy Week, let's remember daily what Christ has done for us. And rather than wait or expect that something more will come, that He will do yet another thing, let's remember what is finished. And then rather than wait for Christ to do any more than what has already been completed, because we needed it, and because He loves us so deeply, maybe each day as we reflect, each day of our lives, remembering that which He has done, maybe our prayer could be, what can I do, Lord of my life? What may I do for You and for Your people? When we feel the depth of His love for us, we will find the strength to pour His love out on others. And just as He did that for us when we were yet still sinners, we too will learn to do that for those who sin against us. Then we will be the church.